Welcome back to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Now, former Sonic Youth singer and guitarist Kim Gordon has said that since she was 5 years old, all she ever wanted to be was an artist. Music, she says, was just an escape from the art world. Maybe so, but Sonic Youth's groundbreaking sound has influenced everyone, from Nirvana to Russian dissident band Pussy Riot, and Sonic Youth disbanded in 2011 after Gordon's marriage to bandmate Thurston Moore ended, but she continues to perform as well as to create and exhibit her visual art. She's playing San Francisco's Noise Pop Festival tonight, and she joins us for this forum segment. And welcome. Good to have you.
Hello.
Well, let's talk about that since 5 years old. What did you actually envision for yourself at 5 years old?
I don't know. I just, I guess I always like to make art, and I just really never thought of doing anything else.
Oh, you do both.
Well, I wanted to be a dancer, modern dancer. That was the other thing.
But that was abandoned.
That wasn't encouraged as much. That was considered show business in a way.
Well, wait, who was doing the encouraging?
My mother. Well, she's the one who got me into the Martha Graham classes, but then...
You almost said Isadora Duncan, huh?
Well, I've recently taken some Isadora Duncan classes.
So you're still with dancing?
That was a few years ago, but yeah, I'm still interested in it.
So your mother didn't want you to do showbiz?
Exactly.
Uh-huh. And was she kind of bohemian then, or...?
They were academics. My dad was in sociology and education at UCLA.
And so they raised you with that kind of ethos. Was it tough then to sign with David Geffen?
Probably. You know, they didn't really push their... They were very, you know, hands-off parents for the most part.
But didn't want you to go the show business route.
No. I mean, they didn't say that. But that was the only thing she said, is just that being a dancer is a hard life.
Well, some would say
she's right.
Being a singer is a hard life. Being a guitarist is a hard life. Or being a visual artist is a hard life.
I think being a dancer is probably, you know, being in the dance world or being a poet. I think those maybe are the two least. And being a noise musician. Those are the three most kind of on the outer edges of the commerce world.
But you've always been a visual artist as well. I mean, people
yes.
know you more for your music. In fact, didn't you collaborate with Yoko Ono?
Oh, yeah. Well, more recently. Yeah. A few years ago.
But you've been doing visual art since childhood.
Yeah. Yeah. I went to art school and I moved to New York to do art. And yeah.
So when did Sonic Youth come into the picture? Or how did that transition occur?
Blah, blah, blah. Such a boring story.
You don't have to tell it. If it's going to bore you and
no,
bore listeners, don't tell it.
It's not boring, but I was friends with this artist, Dan Graham, minimal conceptual artist, and he was doing a version of his famous audience mirror performance piece, and it's normally a piece where he stands in front of the audience and has a huge mirror behind him, and he describes the audience looking at him, and then he turns around and he describes himself in the mirror, and then he describes the audience looking at him describing himself or something like that. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to do it with an all-girl group because he was sort of writing a lot about women's voices or girls' voices and punk rock and these sort of eccentric articles, because music was sort of a hobby for him. And he also wrote essays. And he asked me if I wanted to be involved in a performance piece with an all-girl group, and he introduced me to this girl, Miranda Stanton. So we formed this group called CKM. It was me, Miranda, and this girl who played drums, Christine Hahn, who was playing with Glenn Branca's group, The Static, at the time. And the gig was in Boston at the ICA. Christian Mark Clay was the curator. And I believe Eric Mitchell premiered some film there and non-played. And it was kind of a heavy night, actually. Mm. But we were supposed to play and then interact in the audience one by one. You know, play a song, do some interaction, play another song. And we kind of...
No mosh pit.
No mosh pit, no. But it was, I don't know if it was entirely successful, but it was fun.
It launched you.
Yeah, it launched me. And then I continued to play with Miranda. And I met Thurston through her, actually. And then we started playing together with this other girl, Anne DeMarinis, who was Vito Acconci's girlfriend at the time. And we had various names, like Male Bonding and the Arcadians, and she played keyboards. And the sound was kind of, I don't know, at one point Thurston came up with the name Sonic Youth, and that was, and then she left, and we started playing with Lee, who we'd seen playing around with Glenn and different people.
So it evolved. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was reading something, it was an interview that you did where you said, I don't want to talk about 1993. Maybe that was why you said a little bit, but you said you want to talk about 1994.
Oh,
because big things happened in 1994. Uh-huh.
I mean, I understand why the show was, I guess, the internet started right after 93. I don't know why. I don't know. It's just, I said that because I was annoyed with them. I kept being asked to do interviews for this show that I had nothing to do with other than the fact that they used a name of one of our records. And I thought that was kind of annoying.
Did you ever think Sonic Youth would, you know, this underground sound would become so successful as it did?
Oh, God, no. I mean, I just can't imagine today we would never be successful if we're starting out and playing the kind of music we played when we first started. I mean, we would have maybe a modicum of success, but I don't know.
Why not today?
I find it unbelievable, actually.
I mean, has music changed so much? It was just the right time? It was ripe and all that?
Yeah, I guess so. You know, it just seems like things are more conservative. It's just different the way bands evolve. And it's just overall, not that, I mean, people are playing incredibly interesting music, but it's, you know, it's more of a subculture, and that's kind of where we started, and we probably, you know, would still be sort of there.
We're talking to Kim Gordon, if you just, you know, joined us, formerly of Sonic Youth. Her current project is in collaboration with guitarist Bill Nass. Named Body Head, and she'll be performing at the Rickshaw Shop on February 26th at 8 p.m., that's tonight, as part of the Noise Pop Festival, the Noise Pop Musical Festival, and what kind of music are you doing now, Kim?
Experimental sort of song-based improv.
Maybe we should hear a little bit of it?
Sure. Do you have any of it, actually?
if this is not it, you'll identify that it's not it. We think we have it. Bring it down.
That's old band.
That's Sonic Youth. We do have it. Hold on. Yeah, we'll just get it in a moment here. We want to hear it, actually. And, just talk about, we're talking about how music has changed so much and everything. Most of the musicians we talk to do a lot of complaining about the economics of the mm-hmm. business now and how things have changed in that way and how the artists are not really given the kind of respect or the kind of, there's much less control for the artists as there was before. You find this too?
I suppose. I mean, I don't. I guess with downloading, there's a sense that, one isn't. I mean, people feel our music is so important to people. You know, it's almost like it's like air or drinking water, that it's like, You should just have it, or something poured into your house, and I think that it's, I mean, I don't think that musicians in a way are any different than, I mean, if you can, you know, earn a living as like a plumber would or an electrician or something. I mean, I think that that's great. I mean, you can, and people do, and you can control your music. It's just not reaching a really wide audience, but there's nothing, you know, that's just, that's the way it is.
Well, we do have this cut from Body Head, so let's hear it. It seems a different sound than what people would have associated your previous work with, you know? Your early Sonic Youth particularly.
I think it's probably more similar to early Sonic Youth than, I don't know. I mean, maybe not that particular cut, but I think the energy of the music and the influences, like being influenced by bands like DNA and Mars and other no wave groups, that's really what inspired me to actually play music. And so Body Head is probably a lot more like that than mixed with a little bit of psychedelic Pink Floyd, early Syd Barrett Pink Floyd or something.
Well, your music had quite an effect too. I mean, noted influence on Nirvana, for example. There's some connections really with Kurt Cobain and Nirvana. Talk about that. Mm.
Well, I mean, I think, I mean, I guess I can hear some dissonance in their music, especially. But, you know, I mean, Kurt was influenced by Boston. I mean, you know, so many different people. I think it was, we were maybe more of an influence on them and in the way we toured and then that we signed to a major, and you know they wanted to sign to the same major we did, and
that was Geffen
and the same management company. Yeah,
you also toured with REM, and you toured with, if I'm not misinformed, Neil Young.
Mm-hmm, right. Yeah. We were guinea pigs from the Neil Young tours. I think we toured with him in '90 or '91, right after our record came out, our first Goo, I believe. And, yeah, his audience hated us for the most part. It was satisfying that we could still shock people.
Do you like to shock people?
I like to, you know, maybe make people feel uncomfortable or just give them an experience that they wouldn't have otherwise. That's not, you know, it's not a, you know, when you go see music live, you're having an experience that you're not going to have anywhere else. And even if it's a big band that's kind of playing the same set every night or
so it's the same
songs, it's almost like, well, I guess Bill and I think of our music as almost more filmic than anything else. Mm-hmm. And so there's a kind of a sense, I don't know, that same kind of emotional sense of an intensity that you might find in a film.
You want that in your visual art too?
No.
That's different. No? How does it, what kind of effect do you want on your, as far as your visual art's concerned?
Well, that's more of a sort of a head thing than a body thing. It's more, slightly more conceptual. And I think one reason why I got into playing music was to escape sort of the conceptual mantle of visual arts. Mm-hmm. And it can be more, it's such a visceral experience, music. But I like both, and I like...
But you don't necessarily want to shock with the visual art, then?
No, I mean, it's not about... No, it's more just sort of more critical thinking or something.
Talking with Kim Gordon, by the way, who will be performing with Bill Nace, Body Head, at Noise Pop Festival. And you can join us if you have questions or comments, or if you remember her work with Sonic Youth, or if you know her work now and you want to comment, please feel free to join the conversation. We do invite you to be involved. Our toll-free number is available. It's 866-733-6786, and we welcome your calls from fans or those of you who simply want to talk about the differences, perhaps, of the effect of music on you as opposed to visual art, and what you expect when you see something on a canvas as opposed to what you expect when you hear various forms of music. And I'm talking about, of course, different forms of music when I talk generically about music, because obviously you have different kinds of effects. But we'd like to hear from you, and you can join us at our toll-free number, 866-733-6786. If you'd like to talk with Kim Gordon, you can also email us, forum@kqed.org, or post any questions or comments you might have on our website. Just go to kqed.org/forum and click on this segment. And other ways to communicate with us include Facebook. You can go to our Facebook page or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. And we'll go to your calls and emails here in just a moment. I wanted to talk about, again, the difference, because you were with Sonic Youth for 30 years, and this is a big transition now. What was that like? I mean, moving to where you are now.
Transitions are difficult. But, I mean, I think that, when you've done something for so long, it's nice to do something else. I'm proud of the work that we did.
That's what you should be. Let me get some of our callers on here. We begin with a caller named Tyler. Good morning, from Sacramento. Tyler, you're on.
Hi.
Hi.
Long-time fan. I was wondering, Kim, what is the status of Free Kitten? Are you still the band? Or are you actively playing music as Free Kitten?
We haven't been. We like to put out a record every 10 years.
Oh, awesome.
No, I don't know what we're going to do. We're talking about doing a record. Usually it starts with a title. And so we're thinking of calling the next record The Boyfriend Experience.
Oh, have you considered doing any more rapping?
Rapping?
Is it on the Kill Rock Stars Nice Ass album? I recall there was a little bit of some sort of rapping going on.
I forgot about that. It's possible, you know. Yeah, I think Julie's got some, she's got some jams.
And who is Julie?
Julie Kafritz from Pussy Galore, who is my partner in Free Kitten.
Speaking about, and thank you for the call, Kittens and Pussy Galore, the group in Russia that I mentioned earlier, the dissident band Pussy Riot, which is, I mean, you've had an effect on them. In fact, you've had an effect on a lot of feminists. And I'd like to get your thoughts about the treatment of and the incarceration of those mm-hmm. women in Russia.
It's shocking, appalling. You know, they were successful in bringing attention to Russia and just to let people know that, you know, this is what's going on, and it's not really an evolved government. And I think it's kind of an embarrassment to everybody who deals with Russia in the United States.
And let's have Jeffrey join us. Jeffrey, you're on.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
Very nice to hear you on the airwaves here. I just wanted to say thanks for the influence over the years. I'm a musician in my late 30s, and I've done lots of touring and whatnot over the years, and just kind of, even in the dark times, just kept steadfast, thinking, you know, you just keep going and it'll work. And one of the reasons for that is on my way to high school many, many years ago, I had an old car in which one of your albums was permanently stuck in the tape deck.
Well, in the tape deck.
Yeah, exactly. See, that it was then. And I just wanted to say thanks. It worked.
What album was it, Jeffrey?
It was Goo.
Oh.
Which I still hold in the highest regard.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. When did you start learning to play the guitar, and why?
Well, I never really learned to play the guitar or the bass, quite frankly. Mm. I don't really think of myself as a musician and I kind of picked up, in CKM, I started playing the guitar, and it was, in an atmosphere of punk or post-punk, and I was inspired by the people like the Slits and the Raincoats, and it was really kind of just do-it-yourself, and in downtown...
So you taught yourself and play by ear?
No, I mean, I didn't teach myself. I don't really think of myself as a bass player or a guitar player. I don't know. I just, it's just a meat instrument.
Well, you did think of yourself as a feminist and still do, I imagine.
Yeah. I'm a lazy feminist.
Some may think that's oxymoronic, but let me get another caller on here. And Aaron is next. Aaron, you're on.
Hi, Kim. I'm a huge fan of yours. Just have to say I've listened to your music from pretty much the beginning. I think something really amazing about your voice, just the sort of flat, unaffected delivery of the way that you deliver your thoughts and your words, combined with Thurston Moore's guitar riffs. They just sort of very haunting. And I wanted to ask you specifically about one line that's sort of just stuck in my head forever. And it, at the time, I was a waiter in Washington, D.C., and for some reason, I could really picture you at a restaurant. Maybe you can even guess. It's the one where you sing, another Greek salad, another iced tea. I love the way you deliver that. It's very, as I said, unaffected, almost no emotion. I just wonder, was that scripted? Did you just come up with that? What were you thinking? What does it mean? What did it mean then? What does it mean today? And thanks so much for all the years of amazing music.
Thank you. I think you're talking about the song Tunic, about Karen Carpenter. And
yes, yeah.
I was, kind of referencing the Shangri-Las, some of their songs, which were really kind of dark, like Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. And
does it surprise you what lyrics will stick with people?
Yeah.
And you seem to have a conversation going with your mother. Your mother's telling you you're too skinny and you need to, I've built up this whole backstory. You need to focus more on your life and quit paying so much attention to the band. And
oh, that was, I was channeling Karen Carpenter. And
okay.
So, yeah, I don't know. And then this whole referencing mother-daughter relationships where I think mothers project things on their daughters that, you can't help but want them to be your own frustrations or something. Or some people actually believe mothers do this to their sons.
Well, have you done any other channeling other than Karen Carpenter?
Yeah. But, so it was kind of like I knew she ate at the source, this because I read her biography. The Source is the first vegetarian restaurant on Sunset Boulevard, I think, in L.A., and she would eat a salad and iced tea. So that's what that was.
Aaron, thank you for the call. You're hearing from, it's interesting, because lazy feminist though you may be, you're hearing from all men so far, which is curious in itself. But a listener called in and said, what was it like working with Chuck D on Cool Thing and also Cypress Hill on the Judgment Night soundtrack, and do you foresee any more collaboration with hip-hop artists?
We were recording with at Green Street, the same place where Public Enemy were recording. So we kind of would see Chuck around, and the song was actually kind of inspired. There's a complicated backstory to the song, but it was really came from my interview with LL Cool J and how one thing I asked him was what kind of rock music he liked. I was curious if Rick Rubin's aesthetic had rubbed off on him or anything. And Rick Rubin had produced his record Radio, and he said that he was into Bon Jovi, and so that was kind of disappointing.
Here's our first woman response. Joanna writes, so great to hear Kim. I'm a longtime fan of Sonic Youth and Melvins. I played bass in a band in Santa Cruz for a while with my hubby on guitar. We were the worst. We played a show in Monterey. Everyone kept coming up to me asking if I was you. I was very embarrassed, but we sold a lot of T-shirts. From then on, I felt felt tip marked on my arm. Don't ask and no, I'm not Kim. Another listener writes, can you talk about where your lyrics for Bodyhead come from? Do you and Bill write them together or do you write them on your own?
I write them. I mean, I kind of have like, I don't know, like fragments. Sometimes I skim really pretentious Simio textbooks or things just for one-liners that sound funny and then build on them or...
So they don't just come to you?
Sometimes. Yeah, I mean, it's all improvised, the lyrics, actually. But I do have some... We have some song fragments that we've been doing that we've worked up as we've played together and recorded. And, you know, but mostly it just kind of make it up, sort of.
As you go along.
Yeah.
One more question from Clive. It says, I'm a graphic designer by profession, but I'm more interested in the things I do outside of work, such as playing drums in my band and making art. So my question is, does being in a band such as Sonic Youth or Bodyhead ever start to feel like a monotonous 9-to-5 job? My hope is eventually to be doing something that I love to do every day and have it not feel like a job.
Well, I mean, in anything you do, there's always some, you know, downside or dreary aspects. But one thing I like about Bodyhead is I really love playing with Bill and, I mean, in touring, you know, touring can be kind of, there's a lot of boring parts.
It takes a lot out of you.
Yeah. But, you know, you just do it because the playing is so much fun.
And I've got another woman who weighs in here by email saying you're a fashion icon. So I wanted you to have that before before we say goodbye to you. Really nice to have you on, Kim.
And thanks.
Ongoing
so much,
success.
Brian.
Good luck. Kim Gordon, playing in collaboration with guitarist Bill Nace, Bodyhead, and you can see them this evening at Noise Pop Festival. Thank you for being a part of this morning's program. We're here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, an hour repeated in the evening. Remind you, you can always let us know what you think about what you hear on Forum by emailing us, forum@kqed.org, and you hear the music of Bodyhead as we're going out. This is Sonic Youth, excuse me. A little bit of a switch there the second time, but we'll get it right. Forum's produced by Judy Campbell and Irene Gucci and Tina Larberg. Engineer is Danny Bringer. Engagement producer is Amanda Stupai with online support from David Mark. Senior editor is Dan Zoll and executive producer Raul Ramirez. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.